plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what you work, make 'em go as you shoot across the sky.
Sounded a bit strained.
She's the only one with a good voice tonight, yeah. Though. So, welcome to the show. You are listening to the Cinespell Show. It is Wednesday, 12/12/12.
It's so magic.
I heard that this is the only time that this is going to happen in, like, how long?
100 years.
Oh, yeah. Not as profound as I thought.
It is pretty profound.
Well, no, there was something going around Facebook that this was only going to happen once.
Okay, Facebook,
well,
really?
All right, fine. It is where I get my news from, though, as you know. So, my darlings, I am one of your hosts, Lisa Lee. I'm very happy to be here. I'm sorry about my voice. My voice is a little hosed right now because I'm a little under the weather.
Aren't we all under the weather right now?
Yeah, we're literally. Mm-hmm. Especially those that live in Minnesota. We've got the titillating, beautiful, effervescent Teresa Savina. Hey T, how you doing?
Yeah. And I'm hopped up on Vicodin. Yay,
Vicodin. We've got the gorgeous, beautiful, awesome, and amazing angel face Ashley Mondor with us as well. So you've got your three girls with you tonight. It's a normal night. She's back. Yeah, exactly. Last week we had little Heather out there. I thought she did great.
Yes, she did. Good. She's a very talkative little monkey.
I know. She has just out of her shell. She is
so
not
unlike her.
She used to be this quiet little thing, like quiet as a church mouse, and now she's just like, blah! You know, she's just, did you see how I tried to go up and it didn't even work? It just kind of cracked like a, hey, T, now I sound like you did that one night, or that, like, couple weeks ago.
A prepubescent boy.
Yes. So, T, why are you hopped up on Vicodin?
Oh, well, darling. After our fabulous Christmas party, I for those who don't know, I stayed the night at Lisa's because it was snowing and I have night blindness and I live like, 50 miles from her. And so I got up the next day and I'm driving home and it's really starting to come down hard, and I'm turning to go on to Highway 94, and I drive slow in the winter. I'm one of those people that irritates the teenagers, and I got caught in a slide when I turned the corner, and the first thing I did, just leaving your house, is I bent the my rim on my tire because I slid right into the curb. And so I started praying at that moment, please, please, God, angels, everybody, get me home. I made it all the way home safely, but we all know my proclivity for gravity, and it's not very good. And because it was snowing intensely, and I was hurting, and I wanted to go into the house. You know, I honked the horn to let Vinny, my husband, know I was home, so he'd come to the door, but he didn't hear it. And so I had everything in my hands. I had the bag with a crock pot. I had a bag with pop and all this other crap in my left hand. And then I have in my right hand the box with Byron, broken up elk. And I'm climbing the stairs to go in the house. And thankfully, they plowed before I got home. And I get to the top of the stairs, and I kick the door, because that's how I let Vince know I'm home. Well, the first kick went off really well. But when I did the second, gravity took hold, and the weight that I had in my left hand threw me more off balance, and I went flying backwards off the top step and landed flat on my back on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah. So when the door opened, I got my dog Loki flying out at me like a St. Bernard in the Alps, minus the barrel of whiskey. And he's licking my face going, "Mommy, are you alive?" And my husband in his long underwear and bare feet comes barreling out of the house to try and pick me up. He's barefoot, standing in the snow. And I'm going, "Don't pick me up. You're back. You're back. Don't pick me up. Just get the shit off my left arm so I can get up." So I did get up, and I've been one hurt unit. And I can tell when it's getting towards the end of the day because I'm getting headaches from my neck. And I go to the vet cracker tomorrow, so she's going to give me a good lecture. But I, me falling down the stairs is like a normal thing.
Unfortunately, it kind of is for you.
Yes. And this time the angels weren't around to grab me like they were earlier in the summer when I lost and went the other way and landed on the air conditioner thing. And they weren't there the day that Loki yanked me over the stairs. So I've gone off those stairs 3 times this year.
Oh.
Twice I've landed in a bad way. The one time I actually landed on my feet. But yeah, that's why I'm hopped up on Vicodin.
At least you got, you know, some sort of pain relief.
Oh, thank God.
So did anything else happen to you in the last week?
That's really...
Yeah.
You know what? The only thing that tops that is our Christmas party we had this weekend.
Our Christmas party was so much fun. Oh my God. It was a blast. I don't think I've laughed so hard ever.
Oh no. You know, when you're playing charades, you really have to come up with really random words because everybody thinks I'm going to come up with some foul word or something dirty.
Like, so, I don't know, vibrator?
Well, yes. And you vibrate very well, I might add. Because you got that word, didn't you?
Yes, but I did.
The piece de la resistance.
Oh, I know.
Was when Tom picked the one that I put in there, and it was cream-filled pastry.
Because and literally. It was
so appropriately random and wasn't meant in a dirty way, but his acting out of it. And Lisa with her hand out. I think I cracked 4 ribs laughing on that. That was hilarious.
I was crying.
I know, I was too.
You couldn't help it. It was so funny.
I think that was the funnest Christmas party I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And the presents that everybody gave were awesome.
Yes. I love Byron, the busted up elk.
Can you explain to them what it looks like, please?
Oh, but yeah, we gave white elephant gifts, by the way, so you know it wasn't like
everything.
Like, yeah.
And I got this huge box, and I opened it up, and here's this statue of an elk, which is cool in itself, but this elk looks like it's been run over by a truck. Legs are misshapen and in weird angles, and its ribs are busted and hanging up, and it is the most hilarious looking little elk, and I feel really terrible for him. And I named him Lord Byron. And it's funny that I would get him because I and the rest of the girls at Be Merry are known for picking up dead things off the road and honoring them and burying them and stuff. So it was very appropriate that I got Byron. But I have a feeling that he jinxed me on the way home. Now my car is now named Lady Byron because it's got the bent wheel, and I'm just their simple, misshapen child that falls and busts up. So yeah, it was cool. But I still love him. I'm gonna make him a little scarf and everything with little bells, and yeah, he's a sweet man, little Byron.
He's not really a man, but okay.
He's an elk.
And minus like jinxing you.
He's a male elk, so he's a man.
He's a man.
So everybody, there was such great food there. Oh my God. And here's the cool part. Everybody left their leftovers with me.
Well, we all know that you don't cook, and your cupboard is bare, worse than, Scrooge. And I don't want to leave you starving over Christmas, and I had to make sure that Ashley had a vegetarian selection.
I know, yay!
That was what's really cool about our team. Even in our family, we go to all these events, and Ashley and Heather are vegetarian, and there's nothing for them to eat but corn, mashed potatoes with no gravy, and like a roll.
Bread, yeah.
And everybody in our team thought of Ashley and brought
Yeah.
something that she could eat too. It was really kind of
It was
cool.
so nice. It was so nice. Oh, because usually I will bring food to the places, but then everyone eats my food, so then I'm still stuck with bread, corn, and mashed potatoes. But hey.
Oh, the four starches.
Yeah. But it was good. So fun.
That night was so, that was literally the best, most fun Christmas story, or Christmas story, Christmas party. But then what happens? The next day, all holy hell breaks loose in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Amen, sister.
Oh my God. We got, we here in Maplewood got 11 and a half inches of snow.
Or more, really.
Well, yeah, probably more.
We in Montrose got 14.
Oh my God. It was beautiful to watch, and you know what? You know what I did? I went in my backyard because I looked outside, and I was because in my backyard there's a forest back there, and I looked back there, and all of the trees were covered in white, and I was just like, "That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." I actually put on my tennis shoes, and I walked out there when it was knee deep, and I walked all the way down to the woods, and I'm like, I actually teared up. I really did. I was like, "This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." And I hate winter and I hate snow, but it was just beautiful. So that was great. I've noticed something though, when you've got DirecTV and it snows, so good. No, it's not. Because I'm sitting there watching TV, looking outside, going, "Oh, it's beautiful." And all of a sudden my DirecTV starts getting all wonky. I'm like, "Oh, crap."
Hence why we gave up DirecTV.
Yeah, well, that may be in my future too. So I got it all pounded off, and it was all good. So then I'm happy. I'm snug in my house, me and my cat, and I see that the my because I'm buying my house, but I've chosen not to buy it until spring because he's going to plow it for me, and I'm like, winter, oh, let's have one more winter without having to shovel or plow that. And I'm still technically married, and I don't want D-bag saying, "Hey, that house is half mine since we're
Yeah.
married," so screw that.
Yes. Good.
Yes.
So I see that he plows me out, and I'm parked exactly where he said to park and
That
everything.
sounded so bad.
I did not mean it that way. I meant the snow. So I'm all plowed and So my driveway's clean. And I'm like, I am golden. I've got all this food in my house, and I've got my cat, and I did go out and sweep off all of the, every like couple of inches, I swept off my truck so that I'd be ready for morning, and I had a whole plan, get up, turn my car on, because you know it's going to be cold, and let it run for a long time. So I'm ready. Got my shower, I'm all happy, got my DirecTV working again. I get up the next day. It was not like how I left it.
Mm-mm.
They plowed me in.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's awful.
So I'm out there sweeping off my car, turning it on like I'm planning, and I'm like, oh, crap, they actually plowed the back because they were supposed to take it from away from my car and put it. Well, they did that, but they also left a big ton. So here's me shoveling at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's not really my favorite thing to do, by the way.
Do you have a shovel?
I do. It's not mine.
Oh.
Now, they plowed your driveway, they plowed you in there, or was it at the end of the driveway where the city plows you in?
They plowed me in my driveway.
Jeez.
They didn't, I don't think they meant to. I thought they, or I'm assuming that they were just like, oh, well, she's just got a teeny bit to shovel, she'll be fine with that. Which I'm not, by the way, I'm not fine with that at all. I don't like it, I'm not a fan. So I finally get myself all shoveled out, and I go in, and I get my suit on and get all beautified and everything. I'm like, all right, car's warm, I'm good to go. I back out and all of a sudden, stinking city of Maplewood then plowed me in there too, and I didn't notice because my driveway's so damn long. And I'm in heels with the shovel. And, yes. And
here's the hint. You have a truck, right?
I had it in four-wheel drive.
So you just look on both sides of the street, no cars, and you hit the gas and you plow the hell out backwards.
No, it was too much. Yeah. I couldn't have. It was too much. I'm in my heels with no pantyhose, by the way, in a skirt with snow up to my knees, and I am shoveling out the back of my car or my truck so that I can get out and get to work. And I left plenty early to get to work because I knew the traffic was going to be just a nightmare. My very nice neighbor, not the tongue one, but the one across the street, he came over and he's like, oh, get in your car. And he plowed out my whole area, and then he put a strap to the back of my truck and he pulled my truck out, and I got to work. And then when I got home, neighbor next door way plowed my driveway, and it's really big now too, so I have no problems at all. So like, the kindness of neighbors is awesome.
You should write him a thank you.
I plan on making muffins.
Do it.
Yeah.
What? What?
I'm gonna
That's
make
a baking?
Well, you just add water.
Yeah. And mix and put in the oven.
Exactly. That's kind of muffins. But I'm gonna do something nice for both of them because they both went way out of the way for me.
Well, you know, that's the nice thing. They feel sorry for the gorgeous young woman there who's got nylonsless legs and high heels and a skirt in 400 feet of snow.
At Durian, like, across the street from me, there's a full open road. And we, literally, the conditions were awful. What do people do when the weather conditions are awful? They order pizza. I watched the same pizza driver get stuck in having to shovel his car out three times because he had to deliver pizza to three different people on my road. We were not one of them. But it was like, come on. No, please, don't risk his life for your pizza. It's stupid.
I agree.
See, but I do that, but I tip them well.
I still don't
when they do that.
I don't think they should. I don't think you should either. I think, you know,
it's not, he was not driving an SUV. He had very just,
well, they can't afford an SUV working at a pizza place.
There you go. So people shouldn't be freaking ordering pizzas and risking his life. Just so you know,
the roads are so bad. Even
they
now,
are still bad.
They're terrible. I'm so, ever since I totaled out Ashley's car, I am so paranoid. I mean, I just hit a little piece of water in Ashley's car, hydroplaned, and I totaled it. And ever since then, I'm freaking paranoid to drive. I'm literally like 15 miles an hour and keep everybody away from me, man. I'm just, hey, doggies are playing.
I haven't stepped out of the house since I fell. I'm afraid of the stairs.
I'm afraid of the roads. I don't want to go anywhere, but I have to. And every single night this week, I've got stuff going on. So it's like, oh, my God. Oh, so, and then this morning, oh, because, you know, T and I were talking last night, and I'm like, oh, I got to go fix my DirecTV again. It's acting up. And finally, I was like, forget it. You know what? I'm too tired. I'm just going to go to bed. So I just went to bed, and I didn't fix it, and I figured I'd fix it tomorrow or today. So this morning, I get up, turn the TV on to watch the news, find out how the roads are and what the weather's going to be like, and I realize, oh, crap, I never did go out because I was tired. So I went trucking out in my tennis shoes and my pajama pants, and I go smack the top of the thing so that the snow will fall off so I can get the news and stuff again.
And it all fell on your head, didn't it?
Every single bit of it. It's 10 to 7 this morning when I did this, because I don't know why, but I'm starting to wake up before my damn alarm. 10 to 7, and I'm standing outside with, like, an entire roof full of snow on top
now,
of me.
Now, the listeners should know I call these things like this is pulling a Lisa.
Oh, I'm a verb?
Yes, you are.
Great.
There's Lisa-isms. You have to have a dictionary to sometimes understand her typing because she has tip dystrophy. And then she does the strangest things that common sense would say, don't stand under that. So it's pulling a Lisa. It's like a perpetual blonde moment.
It was very cold at 10 minutes to 7, I gotta say.
I bet it was. And it went down your coat and all that. And yeah, oh yeah.
I had snow in my pockets.
Talk about a cold shower.
No kidding. So that was my last couple of days. Ash, you got anything?
No.
I don't really.
Ash, what did you get for your white elephant gift?
Oh my God. I got the worst gift out of all of them. Ow! So funny that I would get it for my mom. Okay, where to begin?
Well, we played the dice game to get it, so it's not like I gave
it
to
you. Yeah, so the universe literally gave it to me through her. Let's see, I got a hodgepodge of things is what you would call it. Okay, so I got a little bag of croutons.
They were garlic.
Yeah, they were garlic croutons, a sample bag of croutons. And then I got the off-brand of the Twinkies, which Rosie told me were awful. She said literally the worst thing she's ever eaten. It was very off-brand. And then I got a neck rest that goes for when you fly because I'll be traveling, I guess. What else did I get? There was just...
Oh, you got a Christmas...
An Intrepid magazine.
I got an Intrepid magazine. Which is awesome! And I got, a CD with...
A homemade CD.
Yeah, a homemade CD. Very homemade. With Christmas songs on it. And I got a free wrapping paper for later. So I can re-gift that, which I might already have done tonight, is re-gifted. And then, anything else?
I don't remember. Oh, you got a granola bar.
Oh, yeah. And it's the worst granola bar ever.
Really? I like those kinds.
No, it's awful. You can have it back. Then that was my gift.
And it cost me
$0.
No.
She had to pay for the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And take Twinkie. The rest of it all came from gifts from my office.
There you
Free
go.
Free gifts that I was like, I don't want this crap. So.
Pass it on.
Exactly.
The joy of the white elephant.
That's exactly.
What did you get?
She got Byron.
You.
Oh, me?
You. Yeah.
Oh, I got a candle that looks like... that looks like an unpeeled... Or a peeled banana, which everybody thought was very funny when I put it up to my mouth. But I wasn't putting it up to my mouth like that. I was putting it up to, like, pretend I was going to eat it, not the way it...
Yeah. That's what they all say.
With some sick people.
Yes, we are friends.
Just take it there, you know.
Yeah.
Potassium and all.
Then I got a sucker or a lollipop. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we want to... How you call it.
Oh! Tell them what's in the sucker.
Oh!
A dead cricket. Guess who's... I've already got my white elephant for next year.
Yummy.
Oh, I don't think so. So that was,
God, there
that
was a spider in it.
She's lucky.
You know what? If I swear to God, if somebody would have known that they were getting me, they would have gotten the one with a spider in it. I guarantee it. But we had a blast, Bright Paranormal. It was our first annual Christmas party, and I would say that was the funnest Christmas party I've ever been to.
Just laughing so hard.
So good. So much food. So great friends. Great time. And we have a great guest tonight, too, by the way.
Ah, who do we have tonight?
We have the amazing Ben Davis. Ben is this just remarkable person. He is part of Summerland Spirit Festival. He was part of Harmony Tribe. He's a second-gen pagan. He is helping out with PLTV. In fact, I'm interviewing him this week for one of my pieces. And he's just this... Well, I'll let you tell... Or, I mean, I'll let him tell you his background, but, you know, we talked for over an hour last night because he's just so cool and so fun and super funny, too. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to welcome Ben Davis. So we would like to welcome to the show, like I said earlier, the amazing Ben Davis. Ben, how are you tonight?
Exceedingly flattered. Thank you.
You know, I told you yesterday I thought you were amazing. So I just want the world to know.
Well, I appreciate that.
So thank you so much for coming on our show. We are so excited to have you. I told people a little bit about you, but I wanted... To let you tell everybody your background, because obviously you know it better than I do. So, Ben, why don't you tell me who are you, honey?
Well, my name is Benjamin Davis. I'm a second generation pagan living in Minneapolis. I've been part of a couple of different pagan organizations. I am currently the president of Summerlin Spirit Circle, which is the organization that puts on Summerlin Spirit Festival in July of every year in western Wisconsin.
Wow. So that's in July. If I'm just going to get this part out of the way. If people want to sign up and go to Summerlin, how do they do that?
They would go to summerlinspiritfest.com and sign up to our website, and all of the instructions and everything like that are on there. We also have a messaging board so that people who go to the festival can actually contact each other and that kind of stuff.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. So what kind of things happen at Summerlin?
Well, the first thing is that it's a camping event. So you are, you know, most everyone that's there is in tents. There are a couple of spots that are available for RV hookups and things like that. We don't have full plumbing hookups for the RVs, but we do have, like, electricity available on a limited basis. The property itself is fairly rustic, and it's up against a nature preserve. So there's, you know, 1,000 acres, that's the farm that we are actually, like, the festival takes place on, but it's bordered by, you know, several thousand acres of nature preserve in western Wisconsin. So there's abundant wildlife, to say the least. The festival is catered, so it's, you know, a continental breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, you know, three times a day the food comes out and everybody eats together.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
It's kind of an amazing thing to have, you know, several, well, last year it was 135 people, I think, that we had, that were all sitting down to eat together. We have workshops and there are rituals and, you know, yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's a creek on the property, so, you know, usually because it's hot in July, we have a 2 p.m. kind of dunk that happens in order to cool off.
Oh, that, I love the fact that, you serve food there, so people don't have to think about that, because I would imagine that that takes up a lot of time, just that alone, and trying to figure out what to bring for an entire week, I for me, would be stressful. So I
well,
think
Well, there's a couple of things for this. You know, number one is the time constraint. You know, we have people volunteer to do shifts at the festival, and one of the shifts available is in the kitchen, where you might end up working for like 3 hours, you know, helping to chop and set up dinner and that kind of thing. But at the same time, that means that you're not spending roughly an hour of your day cooking, you know, bringing your camping equipment for cooking, bringing coolers and ice and all of that stuff. The other reason that we did it is because, you know, with us being up against that nature preserve, we actually have seen black bears in the area. And so all of, you know, having this catered really concentrates, you know, food waste and that sort of stuff so that it's not out in the campsites. And, you know, we have been very, very blessed to not have serious issues with the wildlife that's in the area as a result of that.
Late night visitors in your tent.
Yeah, you know, looking for marshmallows.
So, do you have a vegetarian option by any chance?
Every meal, breakfast is continental, so it's, you know, kind of muffins and toast and that kind of stuff. But every meal has a vegetarian entree that's offered alongside, you know, the carnivorous entree, if you will. So, you know,
awesome.
But, well, and one of the things that we've really worked on is to make certain that, you know, the menu is not, you know, meat and starch. It's not, you know, there's plenty of meat and there's plenty of starch, but there's also a lot of vegetables that are available, and there's a salad bar that happens and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the vegetarian option that's available, you know, like one of the ones that we had was a barley stew, which is a complete vegetable stew with barley in it and everything like that. So it's a good source of protein in kind of a balanced diet, because we didn't want to offer, you know, nothing but tofu and starch instead of meat and starch. So
great. Oh, you even thought of that. That's wow.
Yeah, we only served tofu once this year. in an 8-day stretch.
Well, like I said yesterday, I'm bringing hopefully 3 of my daughters, but for sure 2/3 of them. And T, I'm sure she's going to want to come as well. So you've got some new people that are coming for sure, because it just sounds brilliant. And I'm so...
Sounds fun.
It does.
It is. We try to concentrate on having fun, you know, as a group. You know, different festivals kind of specialize in different things, and some of them specialize in rituals, and some of them specialize in entertainment or in workshops. We wanted to have kind of a relaxed festival where there are workshops and there are rituals, but the main focus is bringing the entire community together to engage with each other, to meet each other, and to have fun. I wanted, you know, we've all kind of very thoughtfully decided that this needs to be the festival where you go home and you tell your friends, I have never laughed so much as to be at this festival.
That's perfect. And I saw the video, because there's a video made, and I believe it's on the website. And I mm-hmm. watched that video, and I'm like, I have got to go to that.
It's a fun time. And, you know, I mean, for something, for a catered 8-day vacation, even though you're camping, it's a pretty good value, too. So we're happy with it.
I would completely agree with that. So, Todd, I have Todd in my brain because I'm seeing him last night, and I'm seeing him every night this week as well. Because we're shooting some of my scenes or my B-roll for PLTV, so sorry about that.
Uh-huh.
So tell me about your childhood, because you grew up a little different than many people that are new. There's a lot of people that are new to paganism. You know, they chose this, but you didn't. You're a second generation pagan, and I think that's remarkable. So what was that like?
Well, I mean, my mother's family, my grandfather on back, they came out of French Canada, and there was some Native American intermarrying in French Canada before they came to the United States. So we've been doing some family history, family tree work to actually track this all down. And my mom was born in Corning, New York, and moved to Madison in her youth, and started getting involved with the Lutheran Church, and, you know, eventually became an adult, got married, had kids, and then had a divorce. And the church that she was involved in really, I mean, this is 1976 that she got divorced. So the church wasn't really, I mean, divorce was happening, but not to the rate, you know, that it is today.
Right,
and
right.
This was the first divorce in that church. And, you know, my mom ended up feeling kind of, you know, that people in church didn't know how to deal with it very well. And so she felt that they chose sides a bit. And I think that she became kind of disillusioned with it. At the same time, she's got this newfound independence because she's not, you know, married anymore. And, you know, she goes back to college and she starts reading Carlos Castaneda and starts looking into alternative, you know, forms of spirituality. And she kind of, like, adopted this eclectic, I want to say, you know, New Age kind of mentality about spirituality and, you know, talking about God on one hand but spirit on the other, and really kind of, you know, inspecting some of her heritage as a result of kind of going on this seeking, you know. And I grew up in a house where by the age of 14 I had read all of Carlos Castaneda's work. I had read Edward Abbey's work, you know, the Monkey Wrench Gang. I'd been, you know, the only blonde kid at powwows. I'd gone to various rainbow stuff, you know, and, you know, my household, there really wasn't any subject of discussion that was taboo, you know. I mean, when I was 7 years old, and the question came up, of course, of, you know, where do babies come from? My mom went and grabbed her college textbooks, her anatomy textbooks, and pulled everything out and started showing me diagrams and everything else.
In the '70s, wow.
I think that I was probably looking more for a very simplistic answer, and what I got was something very, very detailed and in depth. You know, but I mean, My mom was the one who, you know, started initiating conversations at the University of Minnesota about, because we were living in family student housing at the U of M, which is right next to the state fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped start the conversation about recycling programs and actually got one, you know, that they started a recycling program. We could recycle our newspapers, you know, at first. And, you know, all the plants in the house had, you know, quartz crystals in them. And, you know, it was just this kind of thing. And, you know, nudity was never taboo. And, you know, anything about sexuality wasn't taboo. It was openly discussed. And I, you know, I feel my connection to nature was really tuned, I think, through my mom. And, you know, at the same time, you know, when you look back in, like, pagan culture about, you know, what was going on at the same time that paganism came to the United States, I mean, at the same time that, Ray Buckland was, you know, teaching on the East Coast in his first coven over there, you know, it's 1969, and at the same time as that's going on, you've got the Summer of Love, the women's movement, you know, the equal rights movement,
mm-hmm.
You know, the whole Earth Day in recycling and nature movements and conservation movements, and, you know, and so, I mean, I grew up in a house where, you know, you turned off all the lights because, you know, Jimmy Carter told you to, and, you know, and there's just kind of this attitude of, you know, you want to leave as light a footprint on the planet as you can. And so that was kind of like, you know, instilled in me all along. And, you know, so in 1990, I moved to the Twin Cities Metro here from Missoula, Montana. And my family, after my mom graduated from college, we moved to Missoula, Montana. And I was there for most of all of junior high and some of high school. And then I moved back to the Twin Cities here, moved back after I graduated back to Montana. And, you know, in 1990, you know, we were in the midst of a recession, and I had family in this area, and the job market was better, so I came back to Minneapolis, and I've been here ever since.
That, you know, it's I find it so fascinating, and it's really cool. The things that we're just starting to now really embrace as a culture here, at least in the U.S., has been in the pagan community all along.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, I think that was part of, you know, when you look at the original, like, Gerald Gardner teachings, I mean, this was, you know, this movement, the pagan movement in general, I think, really was kind of an occultist society. It was about high ritual and magic and that kind of stuff. But I don't think that there was a really big connection to earth-based spirituality until there was kind of like this planet-wide realization of, you know, the effects of pollution and the acid rain, strip mining, and, you know, right. and this kind of thing. And you know, as the women's movement and, you know, the conservation and environmental movements were happening at the same time, I think they very much commingled within the pagan community, within our own, like, morals and ethics of how we, you know, at least in this country, view paganism in general. I think all those issues are tied together.
I would agree with that 100%. 100%. So, I would consider you one of the major pillars, at least in Minnesota's community. I'm serious. As a second...
Here's my take on this, okay? I am more than willing to serve my community in whatever way that I can, you know? And if helping to run a festival does that, you know, because part of serving your community is also serving self, honestly. I mean, nobody does anything without some kind of payoff, I don't think. And, right. You know, so for me, running a festival is kind of like, I want to run a festival that's the festival that I want to go to.
Right.
And so And I get to every year, you know. It's one of those things. But at the same time, you know, I'm doing my contribution the way that I can in the, you know, the limited way that I have, you know, at this point in time. I think everybody contributes to their community in whatever way that they can. But I don't consider myself, at least in my own delusion, as a major player in the Twin Cities Metro. I don't think that, you know, I'm not necessarily putting myself out there opinionated. You know, I'm doing my own thing, and others have come along, you know, and are doing things alongside me, and we see where we meet. You know, we see where the confluence of energies brings us, and I think that
you're making a positive impact on the world and on the pagan community, where, you know, others, I'm not saying that they don't, but you're making a real contribution. And myself, I'd like to thank you for that. And I know, and on behalf of all of the Minnesota pagans, I'd like to thank you for that. But I appreciate everything that you do.
Well, thank you. You know, but at the same time, I guess the main point that I'm trying to get across is I don't necessarily do what I do because of things like that. You know, I do what I do because I find it self-gratifying, you know, and that's where the main focus of my energy has been for a while now, is in festival organization. And you know, if other people enjoy it, then blessed be. But, you know, I don't think that I could necessarily not do this. I think that this is something I feel very connected to and very called to do. And, you know, I'm glad that other people enjoy it. I think that I would probably, you know, be organizing camping weekends with my friends if I wasn't doing this.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was just a pleasure to have you on the show. I'd love to have you back on again so we can talk longer. We ran out of time, so I'd love to have you back another time. Because you
definitely
are amazing.
Definitely, just let me know.
All right, well, thank you again. If somebody wants to contact you, if they've got questions, is there a link or anything, or should I just have them contact me, and then I'll give you the information?
If they go in and sign up to summerlandfest.com, in the background of our website, once they sign up, we actually have something called Festbook, and it's very much like Facebook. And you can connect with any of the members of Summerlin Spirit Circle through that. You know, otherwise, they can send me an email. I am president@summerlinfest.com.
Oh, perfect. All right, well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us. You were a delight and a pleasure and an honor. And have a great night, and we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
I will dedicate and sacrifice my every thing for just a second's worth without my story's ending. And I wish I could know if the directions that I take and all the choices that I make won't end up all for nothing. Show me what it's for. Make me understand it. I've been crawling in the dark, looking for the answer. Is there something more? Okay to use my heart and not my eyes to navigate the darkness. Will the ending be ever coming suddenly? Will I ever get to see the ending to my story? Show me what it's for. Make me understand it. I've been crawling in the dark, looking for the answer. Is there something we understand it. I've been crawling in the dark, looking for the answer. Is there something more than what I've been handed? I've been crawling in the dark, looking for the answer.
Ashley T, what did you think? I told you he was amazing.
He's so interesting.
He is, and I was on the website while we were talking, and I was checking it out. It looks like a blast.
Oh, did you look at the video? The video looks amazing.
No, I couldn't listen to the video. Not yet.
Right, obviously, because we're doing the radio show, duh.
Yeah.
Was that a Lisa-ism?
That was a Lisa-ism.
All right, I'm starting to figure out how I'm a verb now.
Well, actually, that wasn't a Lisa-ism. That was a pull on a Lisa.
Okay, either way, it's still a verb.
Yes.
So, next week, T has somebody coming on the show that we've actually had on the show before.
Go ahead, Miss Shelley.
Miss Shelley.
Yes, to promote our big drum circle on the 21st.
I cannot wait to ask her about her ear. From last week.
As far as I know, it's doing really well. So awesome.
I'm glad to hear that.
We got all the holes poked back in. So
thank God. Poor girl. Oh my God. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a great show. It was a fun show. We will definitely have Ben back on because he's
hilarious.
He is hilarious. But on top of that, there's so much more about him that we didn't even get to touch on just because we ran out of time. So we're going to have him on again for sure because he's just fascinating. And I'm doing an interview with him on the Pagan Voice on the PLTV network. So I'm kind of excited about that. In the meantime, you guys be safe out there. The roads are slick. I don't care where you are unless you're in the south. And then, I don't know, maybe it'll rain. Be careful. Be safe. T, Ash, have a great week.
Thank you.
I love you. You too. Ever so.
And Josh, I love you ever so.
Ever so. Josh, we love you too, our Superman, our wonderful producer who takes such good care of us.
Don't lie like that.
We're getting you fabulous gifts for Christmas to go with your new job possibility.
I'm an atheist. I don't celebrate Christmas.
Well, for the holidays.
We all celebrate gifts. So, in the meantime, until we are together again next Wednesday, remember you are perfect in absolutely every single way. You are wonderful. You are amazing. Talented, beautiful.
Happy 12-12-12.
Yeah, happy 12-12-12, which apparently does happen once every 100 years.
So expect to be wonkier than normal. With all the poles shifting on that day, it's like, So hopefully I'm going to strap myself in so I don't fall anymore.
And I will drive even more careful just because I'm paranoid as F right now. So
and don't pull any more snow off your roof.
Yeah, I got to figure out a different solution for that one because the Housewives of Beverly Hills, I can't be missing that kind of stuff. Mm-mm. So, I mean, I've got stuff to do. So you matter and are perfect in every way. Remember to trust in yourself and always remember, my darlings, to take back your light. Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.